total is 100,000. I mean, you could throw a rock and get pretty close to that. Of course, the limo was destroyed. So I guess that goes into the part of the big chunk of the 100,000. When you really think about it, $100,000 in damages to buildings from all of the thousands and thousands of people who were there to oppose the inauguration of Donald Trump ain't nothing. It's just nothing, unless you want to use it for propaganda, if you want to use it to vilify dissent and arrest too many people and make them all look like they're window-smashing, limo-burning criminals. And that is what is being done over and over. Now, by exposing this, I'm not suggesting that that Gandhian tactics are the only way to go. Because over and over, I have seen Gandhian tactics be superseded in the press by whoever broke the window, and so many times that is a police provocateur. I want you, the KBOO audience, to know that this is going on. Many of you do, but I think the society generally doesn't, and it's something we need to talk about. I invite you to call with your comments and questions. It's 9:30. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This show is called Press Watch. The number to call with your comments and questions is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And Camilo is on the air.
Hi. I had tried to get onto the program while Joanne was on earlier, so I called in to you to say what I had to say then, and that is I'm not going to try to discuss any issues of blame because I think that there's a dynamic, no matter on whose side the greater strength of that dynamic is. There is provocation going in both ways. And the question that I have that no one seems to have addressed is whether or not the May Day Coalition is a organization that professes nonviolence. And if it is, what are they going to do to try to address this problem of the black bloc and the provocation, mutual provocation, in order to make this demonstration safe? Because if it continues like this, no one is going to go to this demonstration anymore.
Well, I cannot speak for them, of course, but I will say, just from my experiences over the years, there is nothing you can do about a public demonstration. Whoever shows up, shows up. And if people want to overrun and subvert your message, they will do so. I mean, when I say there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can do to stop them. There are things that you can do to identify your group. There are tactics you can undertake to separate what your group does from some other or infiltrating group. And all of those tactics are likely to be defeated by press that wishes to point at the broken windows and really to imply that disobedience and dissent are criminal.
Well, this is where I want to express a disagreement with you about Gandhian and Kingian approaches to nonviolence. I mean, I think we have seen that it has been effective during the civil rights era, and it's why it's so critical that it be disciplined and that it is a tactic which is monitored and which is made to be clear that it's not welcome to any other intrusion from aggressive, violent approaches.
I would say that those who wish to undertake the propaganda of the deed bear that onus. They need to separate their protest very clearly. I saw some effort to do that in the Black Bloc. They kept themselves separate to some extent from the group, but they also chose pretty much the same place and pretty much the same time. So that made it possible for the press and the police to smear the larger group with their tactics. I would say that on top of my warning that these groups are very thoroughly historically infiltrated and subject to agitation and provocateurs, it is also incumbent upon those who wish to demonstrate in their way, if they feel solidarity at all with that larger group, with that coalition of people who wanted a peaceful demonstration, it is incumbent upon them to have a separate demonstration, a separate place, and to some extent, a separate time.
That's what Abe and Joe were suggesting on Monday. And I think it should be made clear to them that they simply are going to destroy or to discredit the peaceful efforts at reform by doing what they're doing.
Let me add to that. Here's a quote from the indictment of the 200 arrested at the protest against Donald Trump at his inauguration. The prosecutor said, "It was a part of this riot that, beginning at about 10:21 a.m. and continuing until 10:52 a.m. on January 20th, 2017, individuals participating in the Black Bloc cheered and celebrated the violence and destruction by participants in the Black Bloc and also chanted, 'F it up, F capitalism, and whose streets are streets,' prior to, during, and after acts of violence and destruction," end quote. So what the prosecutors are saying by including this is that this is actionable, that their statements against capitalism are actionable. And that's where they give away their hand, that they are against dissent. They're against the thought crime of being against the system that crushes us all.
Well, speech is one thing and action is another thing.
Yes, and so they should not have included the speech in their... if they were not against dissent as opposed to against the violence, then there was no reason for them to put in the statements F capitalism in their indictment. This is an official document. This is used to put people in jail, and they've got no business.
Well, I think here in Portland, we've got to figure this out, and we've got to have some dialogue, and I hope that the people in the Black Bloc are willing to participate in the dialogue with the people who believe in nonviolence and try to come to some degree of solidarity on how we're going to move forward. Otherwise, the protests will just be turned into police riots over and over again.
I agree. And hopefully speaking on People's Community Radio Station about this and talking with you will help move that forward. Although, I've got to say, the forces arrayed against dissent are powerful, very experienced, professional, in fact, well-financed, in league with the corporate media, and this is very difficult to do. And yet, clearly, it's time to be processing. Hey, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
The time is 9:37 Pacific time. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Been talking about rioting so far and how demonstrations with a very small total amount of violence are characterized as riots. And I want to talk about just for a moment about just how silly that is. I mean, if you really think what a riot is and the burning and the looting and the shooting that characterizes a riot, it is just extreme and ridiculous to call the May Day demonstrations in downtown Portland a riot. It's just ridiculous. Cracked windows, a trash police car. You know, it looks very dramatic when you see the photograph of the police car spray painted on, the tires slashed, windows busted. ACAB was painted on the picture that I saw. I did not see that particular one personally. That is not, however, a lot of damage. There were no cops in the vehicle when that was done. That's a cost of towing the thing, putting new tires on it, removing the spray paint with anti-graffiti stuff, and replacing the windows, and that's it. That is not really much more than a political act. It'll run into probably more than the hundreds. It'll probably cost more than $1,000. And quite possibly, since much of such repair is done in-house, I would guess it's less than $2,000 of damage. The effect that it has, and this goes both ways. it demonstrates that some people somewhere were willing to risk, you know, the confronting the Portland police in that way. And we all know that this is literally risking death. And they wanted to express their opinion, ACAB, all cops are bastards. That's what they had to say, evidently. And that's that. And then on the other hand, it can also be used to smear the entire group because, well, you know, whether the Black Bloc intended this outcome or not, they were kettled with the larger group. And so it's easy to look at the protest in the corporate media, the mainstream media, and think that everyone there was in some way a part of trashing the police car. It's something that comes in the context of a very restricted ability of the population to express itself. I'm thinking particularly of the way the Democratic Party, a very powerful institution, well-funded, corporate-funded institution, deliberately, dedicatedly, precisely eliminated the popular candidacy of Bernie Sanders in order to support their preferred candidate, Hillary Clinton, whether anyone wanted that or not. A lot of people did want Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's in the news right now. And unfortunately, she seems to be saying that she lost because of the Russians. However, one thing she said that she lost because of misogyny is absolutely correct. This is a very misogynist society. We've not begun to confront the gender violence in the society, and it did work against her. And it does need to be addressed. But, of course, things are getting spun the way they're getting spun. And in this country, war being the, as I believe it was Chris Hedges said, the force that gives us meaning, that's how it's going to be spun. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187 on your People's Community Radio Station, KBOO. I urge you, if you can feel, if you can see that, well, if you can hear, that this voice, this transmitted and electronically transmitted voice, this KBOO community radio, if you can see how important it is to have this reporting, this opinion, this opportunity for a better narrative to be put forward, if you can see how important it is, then please be alert and aware and tell other people that this station exists. You know, we have one little, we have one big publicity vehicle. We don't have much visibility simply because of the various noise, the various efforts, all the media that happens. We are still, after nearly 50 years, pretty much a boutique, just in terms of range, in terms of audience. We're still pretty much a boutique station. And I think, especially in view of the strenuous efforts to support strongly dissenting political candidates, not just Bernie Sanders, but Jill Stein, Shama Sawant, there is potential for a huge, huge audience for this radio station. And at this point, it's incumbent on you. You get it? You understand why we have to have this station? You need to tell people about it and even just encourage them right down to the point of turning on your radio and saying, look at this, pulling up the website and sharing it on social media and saying, look what you can get here. I mean, We have the music, we have the events, we have live music, but we have public affairs that is different, dissenting. And what I am trying to do on my program is to be as precise in my analysis as I can. And it's a funny thing to say precise analysis, because analysis is taking a great cloud of information, especially politically, and trying to make sense of it. But there are so many people here at KBOO, and I'm so proud of so many people here in the public affairs who really try to get the truth out, and that is our standard. That is the standard. It works out to a left political viewpoint, but really, it's about the truth. We want to get the truth out, and we want people to act on it, and that means you got to tell people this station exists. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And Lee is on the air.
Teresa.
Yes.
Thank you for your dedication, your efforts, and your work.
You're welcome.
I would like to recommend a book by Howard Zinn that I don't think enough people know about. It's entitled Disobedience and Democracy, Nine Fallacies on Law and Order.
That's a pretty short book, I think.
Yeah, it's published in 1968, and I wish I would have read it back then, because I probably would have been more radical than I already am.
Okay, say the title again.
Disobedience and Democracy, Nine Fallacies on Law and Order.
Okay.
It's a response to a booklet that Justice Abe Fortas, then with the Supreme Court, put out entitled Concerning Dissent and Civil Disobedience. It's a rebuttal to Fortas's position. And basically, the only thing that I can state is that Fortas's position has been solidified and made, you know, more stronger in the media and in the government, and that people need to understand what Zinn was saying, because it's so important to our rights as citizens.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. I do think that the demonstrations are more important than ever, because we are shouted down and hedged in by the corporate control of the media, and the maldistribution of wealth certainly features into that calculus.
Which is what Zinn was saying, you know, in 1968 when he wrote it.
Yeah, and the more so now, I'm sure.
And you know, if we continue to, you know, not learn from the past and the wisdom of Zinn, then we're not going to make progress. Thank you.
Well, thanks for that information. Number call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. There's an article by Robert Perry in Consortium News, also a good news site, one of those that I look at pretty much daily. I look at The Intercept, I look at Consortium News, I look at Real News, I look at Alternet, commondreams.org. There's so many good websites, useful websites. But Robert Perry wrote about this. The title says, The New York Times is cheering on the Orwellian future for Western democracy, he put democracy in quotes, in which algorithms quickly hunt down and eliminate information that the Times and other mainstream outlets don't like. And this is about the whole fake news thing and the spin that it takes with the control meisters in the corporate media. He writes, just days after sporting First Amendment pins at the White House Correspondents' Dinner to celebrate freedom of the press, the mainstream U.S. media is back to celebrating a very different idea, how to use algorithms to purge the internet of what is deemed fake news, i.e. what the mainstream judges to be misinformation. The New York Times, one of the top promoters of this new Orwellian model for censorship, devoted two-thirds of a page in its Tuesday editions to a laudatory piece about high-tech entrepreneurs refining artificial intelligence that can hunt down and eradicate supposedly fake news. To justify this draconian strategy, the Times cited only a fake news report claiming that the French establishment's preferred presidential candidate Emmanuel Macron had received funding from Saudi Arabia, a bogus story published by a website that mimicked the appearance of the newspaper Le Soir and was traced to a Delaware phone number. Yet while such intentionally fabricated articles as well as baseless conspiracy theories are a bane of the internet and do deserve hearty condemnation, he writes, the Times gives no thought to the potential downside of having a select group of mainstream journalistic entities feeding their judgment about what is true and what is not into some algorithms that would then scrub the internet of contrary items. Since the Times is a member of the Google-funded First Draft Coalition, along with other mainstream outlets such as the Washington Post and the pro-NATO propaganda site Bellingcat, the idea of eliminating information that counters what the group asserts is true may seem quite appealing to the Times and other insiders. After all, it might seem cool to have some high-tech tool that silences your critics automatically, but you don't need a huge amount of imagination to see how this combination of mainstream groupthink and artificial intelligence could create an Orwellian future in which only one side of the story gets told and the other side simply disappears from view. Now, there's more to that article, and I'll get to the phone in just a second, but this feeds in to what we are facing, and this also this points to why the demonstrations are so necessary. Even if provocateurs, and I'm not calling the Black Bloc provocateurs, but I know that there are provocateurs who target the Black Bloc. Even if there are these difficulties, you know, even if some windows get smashed, it is very important right now to demonstrate, the more so because the Trump administration is so viciously against dissent. And that man cannot stand to be argued against, and his attitude is rotting the society from the top down worse than it was. Not that it was anywhere near free of such attitudes. Kim is on the air.
Hi. Actually, it's Kim, K-I-M.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem. So, you know, I had a comment, long before the internet, there was a program on public television called World Week in Review. And I used to watch it during the times of Henry Kissinger and his shuttle diplomacy and Europe and going all over the place. And it was a very interesting program because they would get newspapers from different parts of the world, this panel of people, and they would report what the U.S. papers reported about what Henry Kissinger said in France, for example, and then they would have papers from France that would report on the same visit that Henry Kissinger made. And many times it was always not the same reporting and not the same story, and sometimes it was even the opposite.
It's an eye-opener, isn't it?
It really was, you know, and ever since then, I've sort of, you know, really looked at, with a jaundiced eye at the mainstream media because of that. But, you know, the thing, you know, one of the tools that the media and the government use, of course, is not just censorship, but it's omission. And so they, you know,
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think that's a big tool that, and it's willingly that the mainstream media in the U.S. Do not report things that they think will be, you know, detrimental to their corporate line or the government.
Yes, just so, and this is becoming worse and worse. For example, right now, I'm trying to find out more information, but because I am beginning to participate in the KBOO news, you may have heard this story earlier, but I received information from a truck driver who, at first, the information was that he was puzzled that he was having to wait so long, longest time ever, to pick up a load. He was waiting in a line of trucks. That often happens when a large shipment happens. And it turns out that the shipment was part of a 750 truck convoy, which was going from a base in Indiana to Joint Base Lewis-McChord. In other words, a massive war mobilization. Now, I only had his information. So in order to report this, I looked all through the mainstream media for something about this. There was nothing. I finally found corroborating information on YouTube with someone who I would just describe as hilariously bucolic. Proudly videotaping a rail shipment of exactly the same war material. And I'm talking about tanks, armored personnel carriers, logistical supplies, war supplies, being shipped in this past week to the West Coast. Now, So having that that direct
Korea's
corroboration
right across the ocean.
Yes. The thing is, the corporate media isn't reporting that at all. And this means that you have no capacity to exercise democratic opinion over whether it's a good idea to go to war with, okay, now I really don't know. I suspect Korea. This could be shipped somewhere else. But clearly, the United States is getting ready to go to war with someone. The other corroborating information that I was able to find was pretty much indirect, but it did convince me so that KBOO was able to break that story. And there, here again, this tells you how important it is to have a community radio station, to have dissenting journalism, and to have these protests, because we can't even get the information. We can't get it in time. If we want to stop this war, whatever the hell it is, and I suspect it's Korea, we've got to move. And we've got to start thinking in terms of anti-war demonstrations. And that means, you know, as the demonstrators say, shutting it down sometimes. I'm not telling you to shut it down because I can't do that. But I'm saying that the tactics that express the will of the people are getting more and more limited. And ironically, with the internet in place, I would say it's getting more difficult. You know, when I first started doing this program, I would take down shortwave. I would take notes, and I would record on a cassette recorder shortwave broadcast from all over the world. And now I use the internet much more than I did. And yet, I would say things are just as bad as they were in 1986 or worse.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Sure.
So I was talking about the, I'm talking about absence of information and misinformation, fake news. And fake news has often come out of the New York Times. I remember particularly, if you look in the New York Times on the day before the re-election of Ronald Reagan, let's see, so what year would that be? Would that be 84? I think it would be 84, November 84. You'll see an article in the New York Times that says that MiG warplanes are being shipped in secretly in grain freighters to Nicaragua, and they are threatening the border of the United States. Now, this is complete BS. This is made up. There was no corroborating information. It was just bunk to support the re-election of Ronald Reagan, and it was in the New York Times. The article I was just quoting pointed out that the Times reported in 2002 that Iraq's purchase of aluminum tubes revealed a secret nuclear weapons program, and the tubes really turned out to be for artillery. The Post wrote as flat fact that Saddam Hussein was hiding stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, which in reality didn't exist. And there were so many other examples, but you know what? I'm getting pretty close to running out of time, so I guess I'd better speed it up. So they write, these false accounts and many others from the mainstream media were countered in real time by experts who published contrary information on the internet. But if the first draft coalition and these algorithms, back to the algorithms I was talking about, were in control, the information scrubbers might have purged the dissident assessments as fake news or misinformation. Again, you need this radio station because this stuff is coming online, artificial intelligence, to further restrict your ability to find out what in fact is going on. They write, there should also be the fear. I say they write, let me find that author again so I can repeat it. Robert Perry, writing in Consortium News, says there should also be the fear, even though among these self-appointed guardians of truth, that their algorithms might someday be put to use by a totalitarian regime to stomp out the last embers of real democracy. However, if you're looking for such thoughtfulness, you won't find it in the Times article by Mark Scott. Instead, the Times glorifies the creators of this brave new world. In the battle against fake news, Andreas Vlachos, this is a quote from the Times, a Greek computer scientist living in a northern English town is on the front lines. Armed with a decade of machine learning expertise, he is part of a British startup that will soon release an automated fact-checking tool ahead of the country's election in early June. There's more on the article. You'll find it at Consortium News, which I urge you to look up. Also, I urge you to use your internet access to find those foreign sources. Well, thanks for calling in. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. We are broadcasting to you 90.7 FM from our main transmitter and other frequencies in Cascadia. You can have us on KBOO.FM, and in that manner, we go out to all the ships at sea.
And you are listening to KBOO, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Coming up at 10:15, join us for Flashpoints, hosted by Dennis Bernstein. At 11 today on Between the Covers, David Naiman will be talking to author Thalia Field about her compelling new tale of marital discord, Experimental Animals. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, a show that offers their list of summer reading favorites for your consideration. That's all coming up, but first it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary right after this.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Community Advisory Board will meet Thursday, May 4th at 5 p.m.